Now in Daniel chapter number 9, we have the prophecy about the tribulation period, or the last 7 years of prophecy that God gave to Daniel about the Jewish people. 69 weeks or 483 of those years have passed by, and there's an interval for 2,000 years now, and we see the 70th week of Daniel beginning in Daniel 9 and verse number 27. Without looking at the context, there's going to be a man that will rise up out of the old Roman world, and he's going to make a covenant with the nation of Israel, which they need somebody to make a covenant with them, to protect them. And we read about that in verse 27 of Daniel chapter number 9. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to look later in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm only going to give you a skeleton outline of events that's going to take place in the last part of those 7 years, the last 3.5 years. Verse 27 says, "He, that man, the Antichrist, that man of sin, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolator." Now that's a lot of language that I'm quite sure you're not following, and I can't really explain it all in the words that are given here. But what it's really saying here, that this man is going to make a covenant with Israel for one period of 7 years. And in the middle of that period, which is 3.5 years, there's going to be some type of an abomination set up, and the sacrifices of Israel that evidently will be restored will cease, and he's going to turn against them, and he's going to break that covenant, and as we will see, he's going to sit himself in the temple of God at Jerusalem, claiming that he is God, and that you can read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But that breaking of that covenant splits the 7 year period up into two periods of 3.5 years each. You'll read about it as 3.5 years, you'll read about it as 42 months, and you'll read about it as 1260 days. That's all saying the same thing. It's also called a time, a year, and a half a and times 2 years and a half a time, which is 6 months. So the last half of the tribulation period of three and a half years, there's going to be a terrible, terrible time for the nation of Israel. She's in a lot of trouble now. She's going to be in a lot more then. He's going to break his agreement with them at that particular time. Now we're going to pick that up in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, I believe, is quite a detailed scripture on those 3.5 years. It's not all of Matthew chapter 24, but it begins, I believe, in verse number 12, because in 2 Thessalonians, it speaks about a day of apostasy coming before that man of sin is revealed and before he sits in the temple as God. And we read in verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound," that's the apostasy, "the love of many shall wax cold." In Matthew 24 and verse 13, "But he, those among the many, that endures to the end," and that's a third of Israel that will not side in to the apostasy, and their love will not wax cold. They will not side in with the Antichrist. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. That is to the end of the tribulation. And they are not saved as they endure. They're only saved at the end of the tribulation. When Christ comes back to them, and they look on him whom they pierced. And it says, the same shall be saved at the end of the tribulation. Now, it's, and then it speaks about this gospel being of the kingdom being preached in all the world for a witness, and to all nations, and then shall the end come. That's the 144,000 that will preach the gospel during the tribulation period. They'll be terribly persecuted during that time, and especially the last 3.5 years. But they will preach it to all nations. Now, verse 15 is what I read to you in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that terrible thing that happens in the temple that will make it desolate, make it empty, that will bring the judgment of God down upon them. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, and that is an image of that man of sin, that Antichrist, that will be set up in the temple when people will be compelled to worship him. And it says, when you see that, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now, to show you this, let's look in the book of, keep your finger in Matthew, but let's look in the book of Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When that man of sin is revealed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 3, you've got the iniquity that is abounding and the love of many waxing cold. In the same verse 3, you've got the man of sin being revealed. In verse 4, you've got him in the temple, exalting himself and opposing everything that is called God, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God or a God. That's the abomination that maketh us desolate. Now you can read about that. Flip over in the book of Revelation chapter 13. I told you I was going to keep you leafing your Bibles tonight, and that will keep you awake. And I'm only going to give you a little skeleton outline. But it will start when he breaks that covenant. He's going to set himself up as a God in the temple of God, and the whole world will be compelled to worship him. You got that in Revelation 13, and Revelation 13, well, for time's sake, let's look at verse 15. He had power to give life unto the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast, that they should be killed. This is the beast, this is the image of the beast set up in the temple of God, where people are compelled to worship him or die. Okay? So the beginning of the 3.5 years is when the love of many wax cold, although some will not wax cold, they will go on to the end of those 3.5 years. It's a time when the gospel will be preached to all nations at that particular time, but it's a time that begins when the image of the beast is set up in the temple of God, and people are compelled to worship the Lord. That's in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 15. That begins it. Now what you got keep your finger in Revelation chapter 12 and also Matthew chapter 24. What you have in verses 16 of Matthew 24, 16 to 20, you've got the people of Israel fleeing out of Judea, fleeing to the mountains, not even stopping to take anything out of their houses. And they flee in verses 16 and 17. You've got them fleeing from the Antichrist, fleeing from that man of sin. That's the Israel fleeing. Now, if you look in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, the first 5 verses of this book speaks about Israel as a woman clothed with the sun and 12 stars, a crown of 12 stars on her head. And it speaks about her bringing forth Christ into the world. And it speaks about Christ in verse 5 being caught up to the throne of God in heaven. That's where he is now. But in verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness. Now that's almost the same words in Matthew 24 at verse number 16. Then let them be which be in Jerusalem flee into the mountains. That's the Israel, a part of Israel, a third of Israel, that will not bow down to that image. They flee into the wilderness. They are carried away by God, as it were, in verse 6, where God has a place prepared for her, that he should feed her there for what? 1260 days, which is 3.5 years exactly. So you see how Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6 and Matthew chapter 24 and verse 16 to 20 go right along together. That's Israel fleeing, a part of Israel, not all of it. A part of Israel. The love of many will wax cold. They will side in with the Antichrist. But there's a part of Israel in Zechariah 13 and verses 89, one third of Israel that will not side in with the Antichrist. But they will go away. They'll be carried away by God into the wilderness for 3.5 years. They'll be protected there by the Lord. Now, in chapter 12 of Revelation, in verse 12, you've got really what might be called the beginning of those 33.5 years again. 12 and verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And this is the time in verse 13 when the devil through the Antichrist will persecute Israel, the woman that brought forth the man child, and will persecute Israel like they were never been persecuted before. So you got the middle of the week, the Antichrist breaking his covenant, setting himself up in the temple. And Israel fleeing, as it were, part of Israel fleeing to the mountains of the wilderness where they are protected. Then you've got that awful period of 3.5 years following. Look at Matthew 24 and verse number 21. You might notice the words then is very important in Matthew chapter 24. You got it in verse 9. You got it in the latter part of verse 14. You got it to begin verse 16. You got it in verse 21. Then, after they are flee for those 3.5 years of the wilderness, then shall be great tribulations, such was it not since the world began. That's the beginning, you might say, of Revelation 12 and verse 12, where the devil is said to come down having great wrath. And he persecutes the woman that brought forth the church, the man child. So you've got the beginning, as it were, of the description of the great tribulation, which is basically the last 3.5 years of the 7 years described by Daniel. Now notice in verse 21 of Matthew 24, now, it'll be a time such as never was before in the earth. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. So terrible will be those days that it will be hard for people to even survive, to live. What does it mean, except those days be shortened? Look with me in Revelation chapter 8. Maybe we get a little idea of what's going to happen there. Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 12. We read in verse number 12 of Revelation chapter 8, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So, as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night also. A third part of it at the day is 8 hours. This almost implies in verse 12 that days are going to be cut down to 16 hours instead of 24 hours. A third part of the day is going to be shortened. And we know there'll be signs in the heavens, we're told, and in the stars and the moon and the earth. And there's evidently this might be what it means, except those days be shortened. The days will not be shortened as far as 3.5 years go. It'll still be 3.5 years. But they might not be 24-hour days. They might only be 16-hour days. So, back to Matthew chapter 24 again. Following along, we've got the beginning of the tribulation, the 3.5 years in verse 15, when the abomination is set up in the temple. We've got in verses 16 and 20, them fleeing into the wilderness where God is as a place prepared for them. That isn't all Israel. It's just part of Israel that will not accept the Antichrist and that breaks that covenant. Then verse 21, you've got the great tribulation that will take place over a period of 3 years. And you've got the shortening of the days in verse 22 that seems to go along with Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 12. Now, in verse 23 of Matthew 24, you've got another then, and those are very important little words in the book of in this chapter. If any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, the very elect at that time is 144,000 Israelites who will proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, the false prophets, if you look with me again in Revelation chapter number 13, in Revelation chapter 13, you're going to find the same language that I just read in Matthew 24 and verse 24. In verse 12 of Revelation chapter 13, we read this. This other beast, the second beast of the book of Revelation, later called a false prophet, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image of the beast, and so on and so on. So here is the false prophet doing great miracles, deceiving people. That's exactly what Matthew is warning Israel about. There will be arise false Christ, that's the Antichrist, and false prophets. A false Christ is not an Antichrist. An Antichrist is a person that's against Christ. A false Christ is somebody who claims to be Christ who isn't. And the Antichrist is not a false Christ. He's anti. He's against Christ. He doesn't claim to be Christ. He denies Christ. He denies the Father. And he denies the Son in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. So there's going to be a great period of deception at that time. You can read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. If you're still with me and still following me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're going to read about this man of sin. And in verse 9, he's going to do great miracles, but he won't be doing all the miracles. The other false prophet will do many, and others will do many as well. 2 Thessalonians 2, and verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Three things. Power, signs, and lying wonders. And he's going to deceive people in verse number 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The same three types of miracles, all power, signs, and lying wonders, are the same ones that spoken about Jesus doing, the same three. It was the signs of an apostle to do those signs and wonders and miracles. And the Antichrist, who is an imitator, he will imitate the same three signs. So Matthew warns them that there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and show so great signs and wonders, and so much if it was possible they should deceive even the very elect. So there you got Revelation 13 again, that parallels right along with that particular teaching. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, this will go on. The picture is quite clear. The Antichrist is going to break his covenant with Israel. An image of him is going to be set up in the temple. People are going to be compelled. A part of Israel won't agree with that. They'll be carried away in the wilderness. God will preserve them and keep them and hide them for 3.5 years. And during that time, there's going to be a terrible time of trouble. The days seemingly might be shortened because of the nature of that period of time. It's so terrible that even no flesh would survive. Probably pollution, probably other things, but no flesh would survive. So it's going to be a terrible, terrible time of trouble. And there's going to be deception during that time. There is now, but it's going to be worse at that particular time. But then we get to verse 27 in Matthew chapter 24, and this is what we read. For as the lightning, speaking about not be deceived, about the Lord being here already, says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now the lightning doesn't always come out of the east. It comes from everywhere. You can see lightning all over the sky. But what this is using is using lightning coming from the east, shining to the west, as being a picture of the coming again of the Son of Man to earth. Now if you're in Jerusalem, east and west and north and south in the Bible usually has to do with the city of Jerusalem. When you read something about the south, you think of where is the south of Jerusalem. If you read something about the north, what do you think about Jerusalem? You go to the north of Jerusalem, you enter Russia and so on. On the Mount of Olives, where the Lord Jesus left, is east of the city of Jerusalem. When you stand on that mount and look over the Kidron Valley, down over the valley and up the other side to the old city of Jerusalem, you're going to see two gates that are closed, like this, two gates in the stone wall there. You're going to two gates that are closed that are called the Eastern Gate. And it seems that those gates have been closed and will be closed until the Lord himself goes in through those gates at a later time. And it says, as the lightning comes from the east to the west, it's telling us two things. That the Lord Jesus is going, this is the coming of the Lord Jesus back to earth, right on the same mount where he left. That's where he went, from the Mount of Olives. That's where he's going to come back. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4 says his feet's going to stand that day on the Mount of Olives. And he's coming right back there again. And he's coming back like the lightning comes from the east to the west. He's coming back on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to the west into the city of Jerusalem after the Battle of Armageddon and so on. But it's like lightning. He's not hiding in the closet, as verse 26 says. He's not in a secret place. When he comes, it's going to be like a light lightning. It's going to be quick, sudden. when he comes like a flash of lightning, when the Lord comes. Now that's true of the rapture, but it's not the rapture that's in view here. It's the revelation when the Lord comes back to Israel at the end of those 3.5 years of trouble when he comes back to Israel again. He's going to come suddenly. Now verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Now to me, this is speaking about, if you look with me in the book of Revelation chapter 19, that's where the Lord is coming back like lightning to the Mount of Olives again. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11 says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is the Lord coming back. And where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, the carcass there would speak of Israel, the nation of Israel, the object of the hatred of Satan, and the object of the hatred of the man of sin, and the object of the hatred of the false prophet. And that carcass is Israel. And where the carcass is, there will the eagles. Like where there's dead bodies, the eagles are going to be there. The vultures are going to be there eating on that dead body. So this is speaking about the Battle of Armageddon. When the armies of this wicked world are gathered around the children of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, in Revelation chapter number 19 and many other portions, Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, the book of Zechariah speaks about the same thing. But if you look in Revelation 19 again, you're going to find there in verse number, you're going to find the language of a carcasses. And verse 18 and verse 19 of chapter 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, the false prophet, and so on. So here's all the wicked nations of the world gathered together. That's called the Battle of Armageddon in chapter 16 and verse 14. They're all gathered together around the city of Jerusalem. Many scriptures speak of that. And suddenly the Lord is going to come. And that's where the carcass is, as it were, Israel is. And that's where the eagles are gathered to devour Israel and crush her. But the Lord is going to come back like a flash of lightning from the east to the Mount of Olives. And we read about that in Zechariah chapter 14. He's coming back and he's going to overthrow those wicked nations, and something is going to happen. Some things are going to happen. One thing is going to happen. The sun is going to go out of, is going to be darkened. You got that in Matthew 24, verse 19. Immediately after they gather around the eagles gather around the carcass, as it were. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, at the end of the 3.5 years, the sun is going to be darkened. And the moon is not going to give her light. And the stars are going to fall from heaven. And the powers of heaven are going to be shaken. Only one other time that the sun was ever darkened, miraculously darkened. That was at Calvary. When the Lord Jesus, for 3 hours, hung on a cross, there was a darkness that enveloped the land in the middle of the day. Here's another darkness. That darkness was a time when sin was judged. This darkness of time is when sinners, not sin, but when the sinners, Christ rejecting sinners, the wicked, are going to be judged. And you got that in Revelation chapter 20. You got that in Revelation chapter 19, rather. It follows right along. In verse 17, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Here the carcass is the nations that are slain. They are down there to consume Israel, like eagles would consume a dead body. But it's going to be reversed. When the Lord comes back and the battle of Armageddon takes place and the wicked are slain, then the birds of the air are invited to come, the eagles, as it were, invited to come to feed at the great supper of God. Now notice in verse number 17, I saw an angel standing in the sun. That would cause the darkness. An angel standing in the sun. Now literally, he wasn't in the sun. He was standing in front of the sun. The sun shall be darkened when the Lord Jesus comes back again. So the great battle of Armageddon will be fought at the end of those years. And the sun again will be darkened. Another time of judgment will be coming, become, because of their rejection of the first coming. And then there's the gathering of his elect in Matthew chapter 24. He shall gather his elect from the four winds of heaven. That's the 144,000 others that are saved that have had to flee from the Antichrist. And he'll gather them together in that day when he comes again. May the Lord help us to think that before all this takes place, the Lord Jesus is coming part way from heaven, near earth, and the rapture is going to take place. The dead in Christ are going to rise. The living believer is going to be changed. We're not going to be here when all these terrible things happen. We're going to be in the air with the Lord. During those 7 years, we will be there when he comes back in the battle of Armageddon, because when he comes, the armies of heaven are going to come with him. And that would be the believers as well as the angels.